Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's been 11 years since Mick Taylor, the psycho from Outback Land, terrorized moviegoers worldwide in Wolf Creek. Now Mick, played by John Jarrett, has invaded the two via Wolf Creek, the six-part miniseries, unfolding these days on Pop Network. Creator executive producer Graham McLean joins me next live from Australia in an internet radio exclusive. Australia TV is climbing up the ranks of Spanish-language channels, and lately they've been on the move without a primetime telenovela. Our latest Australia visit involving CEO Winter Horton and head of production Ivan Spokovich, 30 minutes and change from now. And do you know what creepypasta is? Sci-Fi is showing it tonight on its new anthology drama, Channel Zero. We'll all learn next hour from executive producer Nick Antopka, who will join us live from Manitoba, Canada. Also ahead, Norman Lear featured our classic trivia question this week and will be on our show this Friday afternoon. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this half hour. Happy to have you with us on a special Tuesday edition of the program All About Television. We're with you for the next 30 minutes, and we're delighted you are aboard. 79 degrees, very, very nice and dry, not humid at the top of the hour, and oh, so bright in the Big Apple. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple to do. You have a question or comment for any of our guests, raise your voice and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We got a chat room as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And if you want to get in the room, please do. And as soon as you do, put a comment in there, and we will respond to it. Simple as that. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Blog Talk Radio icon somewhere on the screen, the Facebook icon, I should say, on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions and do anything you think. Other people can be live with you. We are expecting any moment to get Greg McLean. He is the creator, producer, and director of the original Wolf Creek films that have been running in movie houses over the last decade and a year. And now he is executive producer and creator of Wolf Creek, the miniseries that is running Friday night at 10 o'clock on the Pop Network. He is supposed to call us live from Sydney, Australia. He is not on the line at the moment, but we will try to get him in the next few minutes. While we do, we have two breaking news notes for you. In case you haven't heard, Candy Crush, the popular mobile game, is about to become the game show. CBS and Lionsgate Television partnered up this morning to make a game show hour of that popular mobile product. And King, the people who made the mobile game, is also going to be involved in the series as well. No host set as yet. No sense yet what the format will be. But it is expected that CBS will run Candy Crush, the TV game show, sometime next year. So stay tuned for more details on that. And while we are doing our thing here in New York, there's a lot of TV activity going on at MythCon, the annual programming fair in Cannes, France, one of two that happen every year. The other is Myth that happens in the spring. And earlier today, one of the key people at Participant Media, which is about to shut down Pivot, its full-time television network for the last few years, has said that Participant Media is going to go whole hog on original series, scripted and unscripted, and they're also going to get into digital videos as well, short form. And one of the projects they'll be working on is a new scripted series involving the people behind the Academy Award-winning movie this year, Spotlight, the one Best Picture. So it looks like that team will be very soon involved in the world of TV, thanks to Participant Media. And that's all the news we have at this point about what they said at MythCon. MythCon runs through the weekend, and if there's any other developments going on there, we'll let you know on our Friday episode. And that is news notes for today. We are still awaiting Greg McLean, the creator and the executive producer of Wolf Creek, the series. He is scheduled to join us live from Sydney, Australia. For those who don't know what Wolf Creek is all about, it's a film that first was showcased here in the United States at the Sundance Film Festival in 2005. Also showcased at Cannes, got great reviews. Some publications call it one of the 100 best horror films of all time, or in one case, the 25 best horror movies since The Shining. And now Wolf Creek has become a six-part television series. John Jarrett repeating his role from the movie series, and as I said, is creator and executive producer. The show is now running Friday night at 10 p.m. on the POP Network, which is a byproduct of both CBS and Lionsgate, and we are awaiting Greg to join us from this time period in Sydney, Australia. If anybody from POP TV is listening, if we can get Greg on the line, let's do so ASAP, and as soon as we do, we will get him on the air. And once again, Wolf Creek is now running Friday at 10 o'clock, first episode this past Friday. That's Eastern Pacific Time on the POP Network. And if you want to know more about the show online, you can go to www.poptv.com. So while we await Greg, let's go ahead and give you our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. We're doing it a day later than usual because normally we're on Mondays as well as Fridays, but because of the start of NYC TV and Video Week, and if we have some time, I'll give you some thoughts about the opening day yesterday. We'll do that. Yes, we do the Classic Trivia Question of the Week. So that's why we moved our show from yesterday to today. We're back in our regular time period, by the way, Monday and Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we will also have a special Wednesday, so we'll tell you about who we've got. We've got some wonderful guests already set for those three episodes. We'll tell you about them a little later on in the program. But anyway, here's our Classic Trivia Question of the Week, and if you are first with the correct answer, you can win Twin Peaks FAQ, and that is the book based on the ABC Classic Mystery Series in the 1990s from writer creators David Lynch and Mark Frost. Frost and Lynch are being reunited on the new Showtime revival of that series coming next year. And Frost and Lynch will write all the episodes. Lynch will direct all the episodes. Many original cast members led by Kyle MacLachlan will be involved. They're still waiting word from Showtime as to when exactly that will premiere and how many episodes there will be. But anyway, here's our question. As we have mentioned, over the weekend and last week, Norman Lear, the great groundbreaking innovator of shows like All in the Family, Sanford and Son, Maud, The Jeffersons, etc., will be our lead guest this Friday. We are very excited about having him on. He, of course, is now trying to bring back One Day at a Time with Netflix, with the Latino cast and themes. And he also has the documentary special about his career premiering next Tuesday night as part of American Masters on PBS. So in his honor, we're going to give you this question. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or you can tweet the answer as well. Here's the question. In 1980, Norman Lear co-created a series with the great author of Roots, Alex Haley. What TV series did Norman Lear and Alex Haley co-create? Again, what TV series did Norman Lear and Alex Haley co-create back in 1980? It was for CBS. It ran a year and a half. I'll give you a little bit about the plot. It's about two kids growing up in the South, one black, one white. Again, the question, what TV series did Norman Lear and Alex Haley co-create back in 1980? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full mailing address. And if you are first with the correct answer before Norman comes on our program Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio, you will get Twin Peaks FAQ. You can also tweet your answer by using hashtag TWBT. That is hashtag TWBT. The Twitter options made available through our very good friends at Hopscotch. The people invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at hopscotch.com. That's www.hopscotch.com. And again, if you're first with the correct answer before time runs out Friday afternoon, you will win the book Twin Peaks FAQ, part of the FAQ series published by Applause Books and Cinema. And if you just missed the question, no problem. I will post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter hashtag, which is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, you got to be in to win, so get involved. Play the game and have all a great time. So all the very best to you, and we'll see what happens. And again, Norman Lear will join us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. It will be a very special half hour. If you haven't heard, the half hour will be coming your way without commercial or show promotional interruptions. So it's Norman Lear, you with your phone calls and chat room feedback, and yours truly, 3 p.m. noon Eastern at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Friday, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Once again, we are waiting Greg McLean, the creator and executive producer of Wolf Creek, the series based on the popular movies that have been running over the last 11 years all around El Mundo. And again, the show is on Pop Network. That's Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And for more details about the network and the series, www.poptv.com. It's www.poptv.com. And as soon as we can get Greg on the line or find out what happened, we will proceed from there. In the meantime, I mentioned a moment ago that New York City TV and Video Week, edition number 4, started on yesterday and will continue until Thursday afternoon. Tonight, by the way, at the Waldorf Astoria, there will be Broadcasting Cable's annual Hall of Fame dinner, where they honor wonderful people in the television industry who deserve that honor. And that Hall of Fame has become as big probably as the sports Hall of Fames, like Cooperstown for baseball, Canton, Ohio for football, Massachusetts, Springfield, Mass for pro and college basketball, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This year, the honorees include Jeff Wachtel, the former head of USA Network, now head of NBC Universal Cable Entertainment and Universal Cable Productions, Deborah Norville, the host of Inside Edition, syndicated coast-to-coast on broadcast stations around the country, the cast of Inside the NBA, the long-running post-NBA coverage series on TNT with Ernie Johnson Jr., as well as Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal and Kenny Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also, Mark Pedowitz, the head of the CW, and a whole bunch more. And that will be at the Waldorf Astoria tonight. I'll be there right after this broadcast, and look forward to catching that. If any news comes out, we'll let you know on Friday's program. So, in addition, we have the next TV Summit, and that's on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, the annual Hispanic Television Summit. And by the way, so the preview, that's why we have the folks from Estrella TV, and they will join us at the bottom of the hour. The first day of NYC TV Week this year was a new deal dealing with the world of virtual and augmented reality. A lot of you believe, obviously, because of all the hype, that virtual reality is something you watch with helmets and headgear and all sorts of glasses, or an object like your mobile phone or Google Cardboard. It is, believe me, very, very impressive. When you put that headset or headgear on and you see a program where you can manipulate the screen up and down, side to side, diagonally, 360, it's really impressive, particularly documentaries, animation. They're all programs and content where you are in the middle of the action. Well, as we have noted on this program, you can do virtual reality on the television set. Last December, we showcased the Apple TV app known as Little Star, which has, at the time, it had over 40 pieces of virtual reality content, and you could use your Apple TV remote control, swipe it either any way you like, or use Siri, your voice control, to manipulate the picture. It was very interesting to watch yesterday's event, I'm sort of showcasing this as a takeaway. It was very interesting to watch yesterday's event and see how much push there is behind the helmet and the glasses and the goggles and Google Cardboard. But something very interesting happened. Anit Singh, who is a key executive at Google, had a keynote address in the morning. And he talked about Daydream, which is the next level of video virtual reality hardware. And I asked this question to him in front of everybody, which was, you know, Anit, you have 30 million people who now use Chromecast, which is your plug-in that allows you to do all sorts of things with your television set and make it smart. Why not make VR available through the television set through Chromecast? And guess what he said? We're working on it. That's an exact quote. We're working on it. And we're exploring the opportunity, and we'll see what happens. It was nice to see that for the first time, Google, which is the major backer of virtual reality software and hardware, said, yes, we see the possibility of this being a television set deal. Now, right now, they and Little Star may be in the minority. But I got a sense as the day went on that while publicly it's the helmets, the glasses, the a la 3D several years ago, that maybe, just maybe, people are starting to come around to the impression that given the fact that half the American public now owns a smart TV set or owns a smart TV device like Roku, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, NVIDIA Shield, which plays Android games on the TV set, and SedLab, which was featured on this program a couple of weeks ago, that perhaps behind the scenes there is a realization that, guess what, we can do VR on the television set. And if you want more proof that that's a possibility, a real possibility, consider this. Lockheed Martin, the famous defense company, has a project that is traveling all around the country as we speak. It's called Field Trip to Mars. And school kids around the country go on this bus to different locations. And en route to their destination, whatever it may be, the windows on the bus, both sides of the bus, morph from the actual roadway to the surface of Mars. There's a technology that involves the windows on the bus or inside the bus that makes that transformation happen. And when the kids see that transformation and they ooh and ah at what they're watching, the surface of Mars and how beautiful and glorious and unique it is, they don't use a helmet. They don't use glasses. They don't use goggles, equipment like Oculus, Google Cardboard, Daydream, etc. They watch the virtual reality with their own two eyes. No help from those glasses and goggles and headgear. And I hope it tells you that if school kids can learn to see VR and maybe down the road augmented reality, which a lot of people believe holds even more promise as a popular medium, then certainly, given the fact, again, that half the American public at least has smart TVs and smart TV-making devices, that they can adjust their television viewing easily to VR. Because let's face it, not everybody is going to wear a headset or a helmet from whoever the supplier is, no matter how impressive it may be. Some people won't do it, but they'll do it if they can see with their own two eyes over and through the television set. I have a hunch that the next time that VR is the subject of one day at NYC TV and Video Week, and I'm sure it will, and the crowd, by the way, the crowd size and the enthusiasm that crowd had yesterday at the New York Times Center, where the event was held, certainly showcases it. There will be more discussion in public, in the open, about VR and AR on the television set. And frankly, it has to happen. And it would be nice if Apple TV would get behind Little Star and encourage more people to know about it. Incidentally, if you want to hear the interview that we did with Tony Mugavero, the chief executive of Little Star, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or go to BK Live. Go to youtube.com/BrickTV. youtube.com/BrickTV. Tony was on our program, BK Live, earlier this year. And he's a wonderful guest. And incidentally, Luca Barrow is playing both sides of the fence. He also is trying to get his product, his service, into headsets and headgear and glasses and Google Cardboard, et cetera, et cetera. Frankly, I hope he is not the exception for long. One other thing about virtual reality that I came away impressed by was seeing an exhibit, a tabletop display from Ricoh called Theta, T-H-E-T-A. Theta is a way, using a special controller device, to take snapshots at any given time, display them on any monitor or object at any time, and you can manipulate the picture with your wonderful fingers. And I asked the Ricoh people, hey, have you thought about making this a television set deal? They haven't yet, but they were intrigued by the project. So maybe we start a possibility here. I was really impressed with Theta, and so were a lot of other people who were at NYC's Virtual Reality 2020 event at Times Center. And if Ricoh does decide we'd like to make this a TV app, we will certainly have them on this program. It was a pleasure to talk to them. It was really a pleasure to see Theta. It's always great when you can catch eye-opening exhibits anywhere that once you see them, you feel like Bruce Springsteen. I've seen the future of rock and roll. In this case, I've seen the future of television, and it's Theta, and it's virtual reality on the television set, and it's augmented reality on the television set. One more thing about VR. Tomorrow, a major consumer electronics maker all over the world is showcasing what it's going to do in the United States. The company is called LeEco, L-E-E-C-O, two words. A few months ago, they bought and got control of Vizio, one of the top smart TV makers. And in a very quiet fashion, they also formed a production company called LeVision, L-E-V Z-I-S-I-O-N. Again, two words. And they hired a former key executive at Paramount Pictures to lead it. And that venture, LeVision, will create television series and specials, will create movies, and will create all sorts of other shows for all sorts of platforms. Now, tomorrow at 10 a.m. San Francisco time and 1 p.m. our time here in New York, LeEcho will hold a press conference to announce its overall U.S. consumer electronics strategy. You can bet that unlike Apple and their press conference where Apple TV got zero time, LeEcho is going to give a lot of time to what they're doing with television. And one of the things that they are suggesting is that they are very big on convergence. They're very big on connecting devices, the smart home kind of strategy that a lot of people are talking about in public and private these days. So keep your eyes on LeEcho. This announcement tomorrow could be very, very big. And ironically, here in New York, the NYC TV and Video Week is doing the next TV Summit, which deals with the future of television, both content and technology, things like the so-called over-the-top or subscription video on-demand service, interactive TV, and things like smart TV sets and smart devices. It'll be interesting to see whether LeEcho, their announcement, comes up in the conversation. We will monitor what LeEcho says tomorrow, and we hope to have some feedback from that on Friday's episode when we have a terrific senior writer who covers digital media for CNETnews.com, second time on the program, Joan Saltzman. Saw Joan a few weeks ago at the New York Media Summit, Media Festival, excuse me, at the Museum of Jewish Heritage on Battery Park. And she's excited about coming back on the program. We had her about, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And she really knows her stuff. And it'd be interesting to see what she has to say about virtual reality and augmented reality and its future as a television property. But I'm curious to see what she has to say, too, about what LeEcho is doing and how VR and AR and smart TVs might all interplay with their TV strategy. So be sure to join us, not just for Norman Lear on Friday, but Joan Saltzman of CNETnews.com. And again, whatever announcement on television gets made from LeEcho, if it's very critical, important, we'll have it for you on Friday's program. Well, this is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the show all about television, and if you just joined us, you have not missed much, because unfortunately, Greg McLean, the creator and executive producer of Wolf Creek, first the popular horror movie series, now the horror TV miniseries that launched last week on Pop Network, apparently is not going to be with us today. We really apologize for this. We were supposed to have him live from Sydney, Australia. Something must have popped. We don't know whether it's a technical breakdown or whether Greg had something that came up at the last minute. But we'll check and see, and we will attempt to have him back on the program sometime, if not this week, next week. So stay tuned for that. Once again, Wolf Creek comes your way Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on the Pop Network. Check your locals where Pop is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about Wolf Creek and Pop Network, here's where you go online, www.poptv.com. That's www.poptv.com. And again, we apologize that Greg couldn't be with us today. We were looking forward to having him on. We will have him on, I promise you, sometime in the very near future. We'll get straightened out when we have to get straightened out, and then proceed from there, and hopefully we can reschedule him for next week at the earliest, but sometime in the near future, if not next week. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the tube. We are with you Mondays and Fridays, normally 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And again, coming your way Friday, a very special and exclusive interview, one of the great groundbreaking people in all of television, the incredible Norman Lear, the man behind such shows as All the Family, Sanford and Son, Go a Good Time, Maud, The Jeffersons, Mary Harmon, All That Glitters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now working with Netflix on their revival of One Day at a Time for next year with an all-Latino cast and Latino themes. There's also talk he may try to revive All in the Family and some of his classic shows from the 70s. And he has a wonderful special about his life and career coming up called Just Another Choice, I believe. And it's part of American Masters. It'll be on 1 week from tonight on PBS. So check your local PBS stations for where it will be running, either next Tuesday night or later on in the week. But in any event, Norman Lear joins us next this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Televise. And because of the special person Norman Lear is, we will not have any commercial or promotional interruption during the first half hour that Lear is on. One more time, Norman Lear, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific here on Tamari Television. Right after Lauren, we'll have Joan Saltzman, senior writer on digital media and other things too for CNET Newswire and CNETnews.com. Joan Saltzman from CNETnews.com, senior writer on all things digital, right here, right after Norman Lear, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. On Tomorrow Television. Next week, 3 episodes coming your way. We have a big one happening on Monday. My lead guest will be the Commissioner of New York Mayor Bill de Blasio's Office on the Entertainment, Julie Medin. We'll talk about her new efforts to get more diversity among people of color and women of color into New York City television programming. So we'll talk to her about that. Then, on Wednesday, there's a new series coming up on IFC. You might say it's the comedic Walking Dead. It's called Stand Against Evil with the fantastic talent John C. McGinley of Scrubs fame. I met him earlier this year when IFC had a press event here in the Big Apple. And we've got the creator of that show, David Gould, will join us. And then on Friday, there's a wonderful series coming up from TBS called People of Earth. It's their new comedy with Conan O'Brien as executive producer. We got the creator of that show, David Jenkins. That's next Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We have had a marvelous October full of shows so far with people like Thomas Hayden Church, the co-star of Divorce on HBO, the creators of Berlin Station and Graves that premiered Sunday night on Epix. We also had Aji Asak, the executive producer of Shades of Blue, coming back for a second season next year on NBC. And, more importantly, the creator of the new series, Eyewitness, that premiered Sunday night to rave reviews on USA Network. So if you want to catch up on any or all of those episodes, and others from recent months as well, go to our homepage. They're available 24/7. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, we're also available in podcast form at iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, where you can hear and see us. If you don't have Apple TV, go to your local Apple store or visit online. More Tomorrow Televised coming away, but first, some words from the fine people at Audible.com. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Twin Peaks is coming back next year on Showtime, but you don't have to wait to enjoy what Twin Peaks is all about, because now there's a terrific new audiobook by co-creator Mark Frost about the secret history of Twin Peaks. And it's got an all-star cast, including Kyle MacLachlan and other members of the original Twin Peaks cast, narrating that book. And you can get it by getting a trial subscription to Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from, every genre involved, and you can listen to them on any device, including where you are hearing us right now on Blog Talk Radio. So remember, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you can get one free audiobook like The Secret History of Twin Peaks. Boy, that's a great cast that Mark Frost is on. He's also speaking, too, in the book as well. You can also get a one-month trial of the service. Check out lots of titles and the full range of what you can find at Audible.com. And don't forget, the customer service, because it's an Amazon company, is top of the universe. So check out The Secret History of Twin Peaks or any audiobook you like at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, a great sound experience available for you 24/7. Once again, if you want to catch up on recent episodes of our program, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out the podcast. It's also available 24/7 at iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. In addition, I do a Tomorrow Televised video segment every Monday on BK Live. It's the wonderful Brooklyn-based talk culture lifestyle show about all things Brooklyn and beyond, hosted by wonderful people like Melody Vargas, Brian Vines, and Aaron Watkins. And you'll find it Monday through Thursday at noon Eastern time on TV. That's Brick, BRIC TV. If you're in the New York area, and if you're a Verizon Fios TV subscriber, you can get it anywhere in the Big Apple. You can also get it in Manhattan and Brooklyn on Charter, formerly Time Warner Cable, and also Brooklyn on Cablevision Systems and RTN. And for everyone around the country, all the BK Live segments are posted the following day or two at www.youtube.com/BrickTV. www.youtube.com/BrickTV. So check out BK Live. I think you'll find it really enjoyable viewing. And by the way, on today's program, I was on with the folks from F. apostrophe D. One of the New York Times from Festival Entries, we had them on the show 2 weeks ago, and you can find that episode again tomorrow at www.youtube.com/BrickTV. When we come back, Herman Rod is out of Texas and Los Angeles, and we'll speak with two of the key people behind Estrella TV, the fast-moving Spanish language network. We'll get to Winter Horton and Ivan Stakovic after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Success Express. Climb aboard for a great ride today, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, the best of BTR is available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. So do check it out. Welcome back for more of Swabby Televised, 9-day edition. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Simon Applebaum here with you live from the Big Apple on Blog Talk Radio. We got another hour of great guests coming your way. If you have a question or comment for them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. You will find it at our homepage, that's blogtalkradio.com/televised. There are turbulent times going on in the world of Spanish language television. A lot of action going on for both Univision and Telemundo, the key leaders, as well as networks like Galavision, Tech America, and so on. And there is talk that one network may even drop out soon, that being the former Mundo Fox, now Mundo Max from RCN. But one network is rising above the fray, and it's starting to make some big moves. That network, which we covered several times on this program over our 9-year history and change, is Estrella TV. It's based in LA. All the programming is U.S. produced. And right now, they got a schedule that's growing in the ratings without using a primetime telenovela. Joining us live from Dallas, Texas, the chief operating officer who's been with us before on Estrella TV, Winter Horton. Winter, great to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon. Good to be back.
Great. And we also hope to have, before all said and done, your head of production, Ivan Stakovic. I believe he's calling in from L.A. We should be getting him on the line shortly. What kind of time is it right now for Estrella TV?
This is, in my 19 years with the company, I think this is our moment. It's really starting to come together. I know we've spoken before, and I think when we started our programming 19 years ago now, people thought that I was a little crazy and that we as a company were kind of going down the wrong path because they told us back in the day that Hispanics only watch novellas. And if we don't do novellas, then we're not going to be reaching Hispanics. And, you know, this is 15, 18 years ago when Univision really dominated. And our belief at the time was that people aren't going to keep watching novellas. And as you live here in the U.S. and you're exposed to hundreds of channels of really good programming, and I'm talking in today's world, you know, Game of Thrones and America's Got Talent and all these amazing shows that you can watch now, the viewers' tastes change, and people living here in the U.S. can see that programming. They say, wow, that's great quality. We want to see something like that, but we want to see it in something that's in language and something that's culturally relevant to our lifestyle here in the U.S. So that's what we've been doing. And as you mentioned kind of on the intro, all of a sudden in the last 6 months with the Wall Street Journal and Media Life coming out with articles talking about the kind of the decline of the novella as a format, we're really we're excited about the future. It's finally really starting to resonate for us.
We're going to go back later to scripted television a little later in the interview. Let me see if Ivan is on the line right now from L.A. Ivan, are you there?
I am. Hi. Nice to talk with you.
You too as well, and Winter is already with us. Ivan, tell us about the primetime schedule you have right now. What's the focus of it?
It really spans a variety of programming. I mean, you know, starting with Tumba Burros, a new game show format that we're super excited about that brings the game show into the home of the Hispanic, and you know, a very fun family-oriented program. Going into Rica Famosa Latina, which is our reality-based show in our fourth season, that sort of, you know, tracks the lives of seven Hispanic women, that, you know, their trials and tribulations, how they deal with conflicts and their relationship struggles. It's been a great success for us. Tango Talento, Mucho Talento, we're in our 15th season. Talent Search Show, you know, it's increasing year over year. And, you know, it's a format that we feel is it works very well for this audience. We're reaching out and, you know, doing interviews and pulling talent from all over the United States. You know, with Gerardo Ortiz this year, it's a great show for us. Then we have Noches con Platanito, our talk show, also doing incredibly well. And, you know, being based in Burbank, in Los Angeles, and being on the talk show circuit, we're getting the general market shows and their talent coming in and promoting to the Hispanic market through our programming, and that sets us apart from the other stations. So, we're in a great position. It's all about content for us and producing stuff that people want to watch.
Well, welcome guest 934 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name. Thanks for tuning in. If you have a question or a comment for our guest from Australia TV, put it in the room or use this number, 646-652-2906. Winter Horn is the Chief Operating Officer. He's live from Dallas, Texas. And Ivan Sokovich is the Head of Production, joining us from their headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm at Tom Rectangular Lento. It's been a long-running success. It's right smack in the middle of prime time. It's on every night. Has there been any breakout stars over the run?
There have been, and I think that, with today's viewership being spread not only in broadcast television but across the internet as well, we have our MCN, which is Phenomeno Studios, and we're really able to sort of promote and get viewership for a lot of the people that are on the show. So it's a wide variety, and I think that's what does so well. We've had hit singers, and last season the season was won by a dog act, and that was a first for us, and it was fantastic. So it really showcased the variety of talent within the community. So I think that's the strength of that show.
Well, one program we didn't mention is a show. I believe it's either on at 10 o'clock or it's on 11:30, a late night talk show. And believe it or not, even with the maturity of the Spanish language networks out there, it's been very, very difficult to get a late night talk variety show on Spanish language television. We've had several attempts. I know Univision's tried it. Telemundo tried it a number of times. Couldn't make it fly, not even on a once-a-week basis. How did you get it on? And tell us about the show.
So the show is, late night format. We do it in prime. It's called Noches con Platanito. It looks a lot like Jimmy Fallon's show or Jimmy Kimmel's show. I think it works for us. We found, and again, this kind of speaks to the changing tastes of Hispanics, we found that when we featured general market stars, so we'll have the cast of Notorious or The Walking Dead or any of these hit general market shows, we have the cast on, and our audience really enjoys it. The ratings show nice spikes when we have the big name English language, and we do a kind of a UN. They have an earpiece, we're translating the questions, and then we subtitle their answers in Spanish on the screen. And it really resonates with our audience. And I think it's also a pace issue. I think if you look across our programming, we're really trying to program at the pace that people are demanding in today's world. You know, you've got an audience that has a much smaller attention span than they did even 5 years ago. And if you think about kind of programming direction, if you look at the general market, you think about how fast-paced programming is in today's world versus how it was maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You think about the novella format, which hasn't changed for 50 years, where it might take 2 weeks or something to meet, the long-lost twin that grew up poor and he's introduced to his new rich family. That just doesn't resonate with today's viewers anymore. And what does resonate are shows in the general market. I'll give an example like Empire, where you could meet a character in the beginning of an episode of Empire and that same guy's dead by the end of that same episode. That's the pace that people desire today, and that's what we're programming. We're trying to give people what they want, which is fast-paced, entertainment-style programming that you can watch a little bit now, a little bit later. It's kind of got some of the snackable aspects to it, to use a kind of cliched word. But I think that's what's really starting to take off, and people are demanding more. They want quality in their programming. They're not satisfied to watch what their grandmother grew up watching. They want their own programming, and we're right there to give it to them.
item the last time we had Winter on or showcase on this program, I believe that there were newscasts running in prime time. Remember the late Enrique Gracias did a long-running series. He did one before he did Estrella TV. He was the long-running host of Telemundo's news magazine, The Curiosity, sort of their current affair, which ran for over a decade. Before that, he was a local newscaster, I believe, with both Channel 41 and Channel 47. And that's where I met him for a time or two here locally in New York. Is news still, does news have a primetime presence still? And if not, how do you showcase news? And how, for example, are you going to be covering the election next month?
Absolutely still has a big primetime presence for us. We have a new anchor, Pedro Farris, that took over for the late Enrique Gratas. Obviously, Enrique was a legend, and we were so happy that we had the time that we did with him. But Pedro Farris has taken over. Pedro's from a broadcasting family out of Mexico. In fact, Pedro's father, longtime broadcaster in Mexico, is actually, I think, running for president of Mexico at this point. So very tied in with politics. Pedro's a younger guy, gives a great delivery, really attracting, again, that kind of younger millennial audience that our programming is resonating with. So, yes, news has a big presence. Obviously, the election, you couldn't ask for better characters to cover. Everybody loves a villain, and Donald Trump is certainly delivering that for us. So we have a big election coverage. We have a show on the weekends where we feature kind of our version of Meet the Press, where we do a lot of politics. We have a Get Out to Vote campaign called Yo Soy El Voto that we're featuring. So, yeah, very involved in the election and politics. And news in general always has a big presence on our station.
And Show TV is one of the fastest-rising Spanish-language networks in the United States. And we've got the chief operating officer of the channel, Winter Horton. He's live with us from Dallas, Texas. And the head of production for the channel, Ivan Stakovic, from Los Angeles, where the network is based. They're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appleband, we're live from New York. Happy to have you with us on a special Tuesday edition, 90 minutes for you. We're usually on Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. If you have a question or comment, give us a ring. Here's the number you use anywhere in the U.S. of A or around the world. It's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name is 934. And Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, has just joined us in the room. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going live to Manitoba, Canada, and we're speaking with the executive producer of Sci-Fi's newest original series. It's called Channel Zero. It's called Creepypasta, and it's an unusual anthology show. And Nick will tell us all about it. Nick Antosca will join us live from Manitoba, Canada, here on Tomorrow We Televise. By the way, we also want to acknowledge guest 939 has just joined us in the room. And in case you haven't heard, Friday on our program, first up will be one of the most extraordinary people this medium has ever had, at 94 years incredible, Norman Lear. The man behind such programs as All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, etc. He will join us live, and our first half hour with him will be without commercial or promotional interruption. So join us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Norman Lear, live and exclusive, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Winner, in recent months, the major Spanish language networks have formed unique units. Univision has put together Storyhouse, where they're trying to put together Spanish language and English language programming for themselves or for other networks. You mentioned that you have a similar division. Telemundo yesterday announced that they're launching a unit that will also be producing short form. And by short form, they're talking about maybe weekly series, 10, 13-episode series, scripted shows, maybe unscripted shows, for their networks. There's also been talk that Univision may reach the point to do bilingual and or English language shows on their network, which would certainly be a huge transformation if it happens. That was described by Cort Stroud. He's a former executive at Univision, Telemundo, Tech America also. Now he's on his own. It was in Media Life magazine a couple of days ago. What do you think of this changing scene? And what do you think, and by the way, do you see a role for Estrella in doing scripted television? If not the telenovela of classic 100, 130 episodes over 6 months, that you do a super series of 60 and 90, or, which some people think is the holy grail of Spanish language TV, still to be realized, a weekly television series, a weekly scripted series.
So you asked a few different questions. I think our programming strategy is to put on the best programming possible that still fits within our budgets. We try to be conscious of that. But yes, I think if... to answer your question about is Univision going to program in English, I don't know what their future is. I know that they do have an issue that their current format that Televisa produces for them is not doing well in the U.S. and will continue to decline. I believe even Randy Falco was in the Wall Street Journal saying that. So I don't know what their plan is. I think if they start programming in English, that brings a whole new level of competition to it. There's a lot of people that program a lot of really good television in English. So that's kind of a – and I think they've tried that with El Rey, and I think they had Fusion or still have Fusion that ABC was involved in and is now Univision, I think. So I think they've already tried that direction. I think it's a difficult road to go down. I can't say what they're going to do. I think what we're going to continue to do is come up with programming that really resonates with our audience and treat our audience, I think, as the kind of, I think, educated, slightly more acculturated, slightly younger group that I think they are, and program to that person as opposed to trying to keep programming stuff that maybe resonates with their grandparents or people in Mexico, or bringing programming from Colombia or Peru, or, you know, on some of these novellas, they're from Turkey now. I see those people are dubbing Turkish novellas. So, you know, there's plenty of growth here in the U.S., and I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg of this. And as we keep doing what we're doing, and I think as ad agencies start to understand that the market's changed, we're already seeing some nice shifts in advertising dollars, and I think that's just going to keep picking up, in that we really reach and will continue to reach a much more desirable consumer and somebody that clients really want to get in front of.
I want to get back to advertising in a second, but to continue this conversation, Ivan, earlier this year, NBC Universal, which is the sister network of Telemundo, put together a weekly series called El Vato, which is about a Mexican singer who makes it big in the United States. The show had bilingual scenes in it. It's very well produced. It was very well directed. Has a great cast, very, very attractive, and it's been renewed for a second season. But also, there's this sense around that there may be an opportunity not only for weekly series to be done in Spanish, but also this idea of producing shows in English. You mentioned Televisa. They already have a deal with Lionsgate to develop English language shows. And one of the super series that Telemundo did, Laredo Sur, became Queen of the South, which was premiered on USA this summer, did very well, going to a second season next year. By the way, we had the creator of the English language version on our show when that program was on USA. Is there a sense still that there's opportunity here, whether you do weekly series, whether scripted or unscripted, and not just do it for your network, but do it for others?
You know, again, we based in Los Angeles, all of our facilities are here. We produce stuff just for our own network. And, you know, for us, it's about producing content that resonates with our audience. And, you know, for us, it's Spanish language. And I think that's you know, what we're our mission is. So, you know, I think that we cross over with Platanito and have, you know, some English content there, because it resonates with Hispanics that are watching those shows as well as our own. You know, so I think we're going to continue along that path. You know, it's hard to say what's going to happen in that format, but, you know, for us, it's really a focus on producing good content in the Spanish language market that resonates with our viewership.
Winner, with the growth in your ratings and the new programs you've been putting on, the prime time without the Televisa schedule, how have ad sales been like? Are you starting to get advertisers that have not been involved with Spanish language ads? One of the things we've talked about, and particularly at the Hispanic Ad Summit the last couple of years, the Hispanic TV Summit here in New York the last few years, has been the fact that there are so many advertisers that are still not involved in Spanish language TV. The websites are not involved. Many of the insurance companies like Liberty Mutual and Geico are not involved. But we are starting to see, for example, Affleck get involved. We're starting to see some of the fast food chains beyond McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's get involved. Samsung is starting to get involved, although many of the other TV makers or Apple and Google are still not in there. Are you getting – what kind of situations happening with ad sales? Are you getting new people? And if so, who's coming in?
Yeah, we are. A lot of our new business, there's so much that is already in Spanish that we, as a new, relatively new player, we've only been around for about 6 or 7 years now. There's so many accounts that we still don't have yet that we're starting to get. There's been a really nice shift happening in the last 6 months, well, really over the last year, due a lot to kind of Univision's decline in the ratings, and these advertisers still need to deliver on the points. And I think they're finally taking a look at our network and saying, wow, what you guys are saying, the strategy that you're using, the audience that you're reaching is really somebody that's valuable to us. So we've been able to make some big gains on telecom companies. We've got a lot more money this year. We've done some pretty big programs. I think one of our other strengths is, you know, we have radio stations as well, and we're able to put kind of the radio together with the TV, together with the digital, together with, I think we do some of the biggest grassroots events across the country. So I think what I'm seeing from advertisers is a lot of them want to now kind of combine platforms and really keep their message consistent across multiple different mediums, whether that's their digital message really meshes in, it's the same thing on radio, and that crosses over to television, so that they really get one message out from the ground, we'll call it the grassroots kind of sweepstakes, in-market type stuff, all the way up through network television. We've done some great campaigns for MetroPCS, for Sprint, for AT&T, you know, all the major advertisers, and I think we've really seen some great growth by being able to kind of put all these platforms together that we run and make it pretty turnkey for the advertiser and make it really resonate with the audience, because all of a sudden what they hear on the radio is consistent with what they see on the television or what they see on the internet when they're looking up through social media, and we have talent that we put together with these advertisers. So to me, the trend is kind of using multiple platforms to use that kind of cliched 360 approach. I'm really starting to see that take off more. As far as recruiting new people that are, you know, advertisers that are on only in English, we all try to do that. I'd love it to go faster than it is. I think Univision's done a good job at really converting some of those people. So, you know, that we need to do a lot more of that. There's certainly Hispanic budgets are still way lower than they should be. There's underrepresentative of the population size of Hispanics in the U.S. But I think hopefully people are waking up, as you mentioned. I think Apple is now advertising in Spanish, and hopefully we'll expand. Samsung we have on the air. So, you know, we're getting some of these, and I think it'll keep happening, I hope.
I mentioned earlier that we may soon have a dropout player in Mundo Max, what used to be Mundo Fox. Have any of the affiliates of that channel contacted Estrella about perhaps hooking up with your service?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're going to pick up probably 4 or 5 markets that were former Mundo Max affiliates. I'm getting calls from a lot of people. As I understand it, the Mundo Max won't be around at the end of the year. I don't know what the official word on that is. I have been getting calls from affiliates that we will be signing up some new markets for Estrella.
We already mentioned the new game show, which is, by the way, a show that's done on location. What else is in the pipeline in terms of series you want to premiere either later this fall or 2017?
Well, in terms of our fall programming, we're in it right now. So we have, you know, nothing new will be launched this fall outside of, you know, we're you know, prepping for our big award show that we do every year, Premios de la Radio. It's a, you know, live music and award show that we produce out of the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. So that's really something that we're focusing on right now. Tuma Burrows is you know, just launched, brand new show for us. So we're working on those, and, you know, stuff, good stuff to come for 2017.
Have you thought about reaching out to independent producers to see if they could produce shows for you? You know, unscripted or reality competition or documentary or even scripted. Any possibility next year there could be a way for independent producers, third-party people to be involved?
We always are looking for talented producers, whether they're in-house or outside. We've done co-productions in the past. It really depends on the project and what's there and whether it merits it. So I think that it's something we would look at. We're always looking for talented people, and for us, it's the one unique thing about our production and our company is that we're able to move really quick. So if there's a good idea that we're behind, we can get it in production and, you know, moving much faster than a lot of the bigger networks, just the way that our corporation is structured. So that's a benefit to us, and we're always on the hunt.
Way before we go, sports has always been a highlight of Spanish language television, soccer, boxing, baseball. In recent years, we've started to see the major sports events go to Spanish language television live as they're going on in English, with the World Series on Fox and Fox Sports Español, Super Bowl recent years on NBC Universo and other networks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you see any way that you could be involved with sports, maybe take on some sports that have not yet gotten national Spanish language coverage, like March Madness, like college basketball or college football regular season or bowl, or the bowl games are not on ESPN, or ESPN Deportes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that you see that can maybe push the frontier for Spanish language sports beyond soccer?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'll answer that one. We have boxing. We did a partnership with Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy, and we have live fights every other Friday, which we found has been very successful. Ford is a big sponsor, and I think they like it. We like it. We're going to continue that. That's a multi-year deal with with Golden Boy. We had soccer this last year. We had Liga MX team. Unfortunately, the team didn't continue in the league, so the one team that we picked didn't quite make it. We're always looking to potentially get another soccer team. You know, soccer and boxing are the two biggest sports. As far as, you know, carrying something like March Madness or college basketball, I don't think we're prepared to do that. You know, we look at sports that would have to deliver better ratings than we're currently getting with our entertainment programming. And right now, there's soccer games that are on the competition that we beat regularly, so even that's questionable. And the ad environment in soccer is tough. You've got halftime where you have to air a ton of commercials, and it's not the most advertiser-friendly, whereas boxing is much more television-friendly, advertiser-friendly, so we really like the boxing that we're doing, and we're going to continue with that.
Estrella TV is carried by cable and television stations throughout the country. Check your local listings for where Estrella is available in your area on local TV stations, cable, and satellite. And for more details about the network, here's where you go online, www.estrellatv.com. That's www.estrella, that's E-S-T-R-E-L-L-A, TV, all one phrase, .com. Winter Horton, Chief Operating Officer, Ivan Sokovic, Head of Production, thank you both for joining us. Congratulations on how Estrella is moving up the Spanish language field, particularly in recent months, and good luck for more great stuff coming up later this year and throughout next year.
Thank you so much, Simon. Thanks for having us.
A pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.
Winter Horton and Ivan Sokovic joining us live from Dallas and Los Angeles, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming up next week, we're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and joining me on Monday in an interview exclusive interview will be the commissioner of the mayor, as in New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's office of media entertainment, Julie Menon. We'll find out about all the interesting projects he's doing to expand diversity among women and people of color among television series produced in New York, especially scripted television. And coming up on Wednesday's special episode, IFC's latest comedy is coming up in November. It's called Stand Against Evil. Think of it as the comedic Walking Dead, with the star, the wonderfully talented John C. McGinley. David Gould, the creator of that series, will be with us. And finally, next Friday, we've got David Jenkins. He's the creator and co-executive producer with Conan O'Brien of TBS's latest comedy, People of Earth. I've seen clips. It's a very funny show. Could be a breakout one for TBS. David Jenkins, People of Earth, one of two new comedies will be coming up later this fall on that network. He's with us next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And don't forget, this Friday, we kick it off with the one and only Norman Lear, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, this Friday, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We come back, we're all live to Canada, Manitoba, the exact, and we'll speak with the executive producer of the new sci-fi series, Channel Zero, Nick and Tosca. He joins us as we pause at the bottom, the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to blogtalkradio.com. It's the best internet radio around. We're talking www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Suzanne Toro. Be simply the heart. Check out Suzanne's program this Thursday night. Special time, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best media available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live on this Tuesday afternoon. 80 degrees at the top of the hour. And we've got our chat room guest 939, our good friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb. And they, as well as you, can participate in our next segment for our 90 minutes today. Last half hour ahead. If you have a question or comment for our guest in the 30 minutes ahead, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. Don't forget, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your blog talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Sci-Fi has had a bunch of series premiere in the last couple of weeks, shows like Van Helsing, which has already been renewed for a second season, and Aftermath. The latest is Channel Zero, Candle Cove, the new anthology series that involves a peek at 1980s children's television, and some people call it part of a genre called creepy pasta. We'll find out how that definition goes right now. Joining us live from Manitoba, Canada, an interradio exclusive, the executive producer of Channel Zero, Nick Antosca. Nick, great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you explain to us what creepypasta is?
Yeah, creepypasta is a genre of horror short story that originated on the internet. It comes from the word copypasta, which is basically like random text or user-generated text that appeared on early message boards and was copied and pasted. And people started writing first-person horror stories that purported to be true and pasting them from one message board to the other. And so it got the name Creepypasta. And some of these stories developed fan bases, kind of cult readerships. And one of them was Candle Cove, which is what our first season is based on. The best ones are really creepy, disturbing stories about scary things in everyday life.
So tell us how this first Channel Zero goes. It's about a children's program from the 1980s and what happens as a result of somebody recalling what took place there.
Well, the original story is written by Chris Straub, and it's about a group of people on an online message board who start talking about this show that they remember with these creepy pirate puppets and a pirate ship that talked and a skeleton that chased them around. And as the people talk, they kind of go like, oh, you remember that that episode where they were all screaming, and that was a nightmare that I had. And they start to kind of spur each other on to remember different things about the show. And with each recollection, it seems creepier and creepier. And they start to wonder, like, what was that show? Where did it come from? And it sort of taps into a familiar experience for people who grew up in the age of 70s, 80s, even early 90s TV, of seeing like random cartoons and puppet shows that when you think about them later, it's like, who could possibly have thought this was okay for kids to watch? As an adult, it seems incredibly creepy. And for Channel Zero, for the first season, we adapted Chris's story into six episodes of TV, which are about this mysterious puppet show that harbors a very sinister secret for a group of people in this small town who saw it when they were kids.
Did you use any of your thoughts growing up with kids' TV in framing the show?
Sure, yeah. We've all seen, stuff like Lidsville, which Chris Stroud based the original story on, or Sid and Marty Krofft type stuff. Or like Davy and Goliath, you know, you would see these shows after school or on Saturday morning and kind of laugh at them or be creeped out by them or be entertained by them, depending on what age you were. And I did a fair amount of reviewing of those shows when we were putting Channel Zero together.
We're speaking with Nick Ancosta. He is the executive producer of Channel Zero, a series of anthology programs that will be running on Sci-Fi. And the first one is on tonight at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and 9 Pacific as well. It's called Candle Cove. And in addition to doing this, previously, Nick did such shows as Hannibal and Teen Wolf, which is going into its final year on MTV next year. Nick joins us live from Manitoba, Canada, this half hour on Tonight Show. We have been all over the map today. Dallas, L.A., we're supposed to go to Sydney, Australia, now Canada, where a lot of the TV, by the way, is being made. By the way, the show is from Universal Cable Productions, which latest work is Eyewitness on USA Network, premiered Sunday night. That was also shot in Canada. If you haven't seen that show, directed beautifully by Captain Hardwick, do see it next Sunday night at 10 o'clock. On that channel. Anyway, Nick's with us this hour on Tamabi Televised. Simon Apple Valley with you live from New York. Delighted you are aboard on this Tuesday afternoon. Remember, if you have a question or comment, don't be shy. Raise your voice and get on this line, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's 9:39. Our good friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, is in the room. Remember, coming up on Friday, Norman Lear, the one and the special one, 94 years incredible. He is with us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. How long did it take to take the story and the premise of Channel Zero and bring it to life as a six-part series?
It took a couple months in terms of the writer's room. And before that, I had broken out the whole first season in, you know, rough pitch form. And it was just a matter of taking the mood and the vibe of Chris's story, which is just a sense of creeping dread, and thinking about how to translate that into a season of TV. And once Sci-Fi ordered us the series, we got a writer's room together and took that outline, and it was me and four other writers. We had this guy, Don Mancini, who created Child's Play. He created Chucky the Killer Doll, and either wrote or directed, or both, all of those movies. So he's, particularly experienced in horror. And we had Harley Payton, who wrote a whole bunch of the original Twin Peaks episodes, who's a phenomenal writer. Erica Sala, who's a playwright from New York, and Katie Gruhl, who's a television writer who wrote for Dominion. And the five of us spent about 3 months writing the six episodes. And then we came up here and shot it in Canada with Craig McNeil directing every episode. So the whole process started basically in December in terms of writer's room to production, and we're just editing the last episodes now. So it's actually been really quick in terms of TV.
I remember Twin Peaks, and I love the episodes that Harley did. He's a terrific writer. It's great to see him back in television, and it's great to see also that you made a very diverse writing staff, both men and women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also have there's a couple of assistants in the room who write as well. Mallory Westfall co-wrote one of the best episodes of the season, I think, and I think it's her first episode of TV. So, it's a terrific room.
You work for Universal Cable Productions, which does Mr. Robot, just premiered Eyewitness, both very striking shows. They both seem to have their own luster, their own sensibility, if you will. Did the people at UCP give you and the writers and Craig, the director, any sense about how you should go about translating what started out as message boards into a television series? Do they suggest go for this style, go for this type of shot, go for, you know, try to maybe mix up some styles together or create something all your own?
No, they didn't at all. They gave us a lot of creative freedom. They they encouraged us to bring our own creative voice to it, both in terms of me in the writer's room and Craig as a director. It's also a pitch that we brought to them. So we took it around to various networks and said, you know, this is the show that we want to make, and that's the show that they bought and supported. And it's also a little bit of an experiment. It's a very low budget show. It's sort of more at home in the world of indie horror than what you might expect to see on TV. That's why we wanted to bring in a director to do the entire season, so it would have a consistent voice all the way through. And Craig McNeil is a terrific director. He did a movie called The Boy, which is not the puppet horror film from earlier this year, but an indie film that was at South by Southwest last year and is fantastic. We didn't really have an expectation of a big audience. We just kind of wanted to make an interesting little art horror film that that was going to be on TV. And they were very supportive.
When it came to the cast, did you decide on an ensemble approach or to have one major name and people sort of on their way up? How did you play the casting?
We didn't really give thought to any of that stuff. We just thought about who we really wanted to work with and who would be perfect for these characters. So I had been a fan of Paul Schneider for many years. I've never actually seen Parks and Rec, which is what most people know him from, but I loved him in The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, which was also shot up here, coincidentally, and which is one of my favorite movies. And I sort of hadn't seen him around in a little while until I saw Bright Star a few years ago. And then he was just on the list for both Craig and I when we were casting. And Fiona Shaw I knew from Harry Potter and some Tree of Life. And, you know, she can do anything. So we were just she was the first person that we went to, and we were thrilled to get her. And then the rest of the cast is a lot of local actors from Toronto and Winnipeg, and we found some amazing people like Marina Stevenson-Kerr, who is she's a minor character in the pilot, but she becomes much more important as the season goes on. She plays Mrs. Booth, Mike's former English teacher. And we were lucky enough to have a couple of real discoveries out of Winnipeg and Toronto.
Channel Zero begins, already has begun, but Channel Zero Kennel Club continues with episode number 2 tonight at 9 Eastern and Pacific Time on Sci-Fi. And we've got the executive producer of the program, Nick Antosta, with us live from Manitoba, Canada, this half hour on Tsumami Televised. And if you have a question or comment for Nick, don't be shy. Get on the horn and make something happen at 646-652-2906. Or check out our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And again, we have guest 939 and Rick Webb, our friends from Philadelphia, in the room. In addition to Norman Lear on Friday's program, we will have the popular digital media writer for CNetNews.com, Joe Sultan. We'll talk to her about the latest in smart TV sets and smart TV devices, the possibility of virtual reality and maybe even augmented reality could be a major factor in the TV you watch down the road. And we'll also maybe get some thoughts on this announcement tomorrow from Leeco, the Chinese consumer electronics manufacturer who just took over Vizio, the smart TV maker, and has just formed their own production company called LeVision. Could that be the beginning of a whole big play for television in the United States from this company? We'll hope to find Joan's thoughts about that also Friday on Tsumami Televised. And again, coming up on Monday, Julie Menon, who is the head of the New York City Office of Media Entertainment under Mayor Bill de Blasio. A lot of things going on under her tutelage to expand diversity among women and people of color in the TV arena. We'll talk about all of that next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific here on Tsumami Televised. Nick, did you and your writers see the opportunity to maybe in a powerful way in the horror genre, maybe comment on social issues? Seems like the best science fiction, the best horror, the best suspense fiction often makes commentary on the social scene?
Yes and no. I think in terms of the series as a whole, I think there's an opportunity to do that in future seasons, more like kind of in the vein of Twilight Zone or Black Mirror. In this particular season and in the second season, which we're shooting right now and it's kind of a companion piece, we went much more character-based and psychological. And part of that is just what I was interested in creatively and what our instincts were in the writer's room. Some of my instincts coming right off of Hannibal, which is very, very psychological. So in the Candle Cove season, not so much. It's not really making a larger statement about society or culture or anything like that. It's a character-based story that should horrify you and disturb you and give you a nightmare too.
By the way, does each episode deal with a specific recollection of the main character, or do you have, like, say an episode where you have one recollection dominates the whole story for the hour, and another episode you have several recollections that meander in and out?
Well, it's as a serialized story, it's more like chapters of a novel or something. It's not like there's a memory of the week or a case of the week or anything like that. It's really like a movie that's divided into six parts. In each episode, we the audience learn more about the main character. In some cases, we learn things that he already knows, but is keeping secret from everyone else. And in some cases, we learn things along with him. And in some cases, we're going with another character and learning a piece of the story from their perspective. So each episode kind of takes the story in a new direction, opens up new revelations about who these people are and what happened in their past.
Talk about the second set of episodes coming up. What will that be dealing with, and how when will we see those episodes?
Yeah, so each season is based on a different creepypasta, a different short story. Season two is based on a short story called The No End House by Brian Russell. It's another very popular, very cool creepypasta. And it's about a haunted house where people go, the kind of, like escape room type haunted house where you can go, and it's a series of increasingly terrifying rooms. The first room is kind of cheesy and you're like, oh, this isn't scary. And you go to the second room and it's like, oh, this is a little worse. And you go to the third room and it's like, your childhood bedroom and there's a doll on the bed that looks like you. And you're like, oh, my God, how do they know this about me? And it just gets worse from there. You start to, you leave the house at a certain point, and then you're like, wait a second, am I still in the house? So the second season is six episodes building a world around that house and a story that begins with it and the people who go into it. And we're shooting that right now. It's being directed by Stephen Pyatt, who did a movie called Uncle John, which you can see on Netflix, which is also at South by Southwest, and is a terrific movie. It stars Amy Forsyth and John Carroll Lynch. We've got about 4 or 5 weeks left to shoot. We're shooting nights now, so I'm like totally out of sync, and I don't know what time it is anymore. It's great, and I'm really excited. It's going to be on the air in October 2017, I believe.
So the idea is to do one of these a year.
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky enough to be greenlit for two seasons, which is great because, we can show, like, okay, this season is going to be like this, and this season is going to be a totally different voice. I would love to do it for more seasons. I have no idea if we'll get a third season and beyond. Right now, I'm just happy to have these two and trying to make them as good as they can possibly be. But yeah, it would be great to do it for a long time. There's certainly a lot of creepypastas to adapt.
And then because of the nature of these creepypastas which come out of these message boards, do you see the opportunity for perhaps for fans of the genre to maybe make contributions to how these adventures go on the screen?
Well, yeah, I mean, in the sense that that if we do more seasons, we'll be looking for more stories to adapt, sure. Certainly, I've read a whole bunch of creepypastas, both before I ever knew this show was going to exist, and since then, while we're looking for material, and there are also a ton of them that I haven't read yet, but I've got, you know, a few of them that I'd be really interested in adapting, and if we were to get another season or seasons, I know the two or three that I would go to first to try and get the rights. And that's the other thing. We can only adapt stories where we can find the authors, because some of these things are just kind of anonymously written and posted in various places and nobody knows who wrote them. And we can't just take somebody's story and adapt. So, you know, we'll make an effort to track down, like, whoever the creators are.
In a way, you're sort of groundbreaking a new avenue of storytelling here for sci-fi. What do you think about this general expansion of scripted TV, where we're seeing all these independent filmmakers, playwrights, novelists get into the medium, and they're getting the opportunity to do what you do, which is to run the show? They don't just create an episode and walk away, or create the series, write the first two or three episodes for season one, and you'll go. They're being like Matthew Weiner. They're being like Vince Gilligan. They're being like Sam Esmail, where they're getting the opportunity to write, in some cases direct all the episodes. In some cases, they stay with the show to the end so that they can wrap the show the way they want. And as a result, it seems that the shows we're seeing have a higher quality more of the time, and they also seem to have a very auteur look, as if this is somebody's vision, your vision, or Mr. Robot's vision, or I mentioned Eyewitness, which I saw on Sunday. You definitely saw a vision of filmmaking that is clearly their vision.
Yeah, I mean, that's the distinguishing feature, is that they have a voice. I don't know of any other show offhand ever that's doing exactly what we're trying to do, which is have an anthology show where each season is a completely distinct story, and each season is a showcase for, you know, what I would call a collaborative auteur director. So, each season of this show will have a consistent voice from the writing perspective, and I know how, as the showrunner, how I want it to look. But then I also want to bring in a director who whose work I admire and I want to see more of, to bring their own voice to it and their own ideas and make it distinctive in that way too. And in terms of you know, writers and playwrights and all this coming to TV now, that's really exciting too. And that's my experience. I mean, I started out as a novelist and a short fiction writer. And came to TV because it seemed like the place where, as a writer, you could tell long, nuanced, interesting stories and actually have an audience for them. It's very, very hard to get a readership now as a novelist. And, of course, it's hard to get a job having your own show. But if you do, you can it feels like a healthy medium. It feels like a place to explore, and I think it's, you know, it's very exciting to be a part of a time when the medium is flourishing. And you know, I don't know how long it's going to last. I hope sometime to come. There's 400 plus TV shows, so you have to distinguish yourself.
Right, and it's looking that way now. We want to welcome guest 980 in our chat room. Rick, our friend from Philadelphia, is on the line. Rick, we have about a minute, so go ahead.
Hi, Nick. I'm just wondering, since you attended Yale and became a novelist first, would you do it the same way? Like, in other words, do you think it's just as important to write novels, or would you just do, like, creepy pastas or YouTube videos or something like that now?
I would probably do it the same way. I think, you know, having a background as a novelist really helped me, and I never at the time thought that I would have a career as a writer. You know, I worked at a day job for many years after college. Five years on the East Coast before I moved to California. And tried to make it as a TV writer, but it was almost incidental that I became that I went into TV, and I think that having the background of okay, I'm going to sit down and spend a year or a year and a half writing a novel with no real expectation that it would ever be published. Or that it would ever, be appreciated really by anyone except me, was very helpful in terms of discipline and storytelling and creating mood and all that kind of stuff that I find valuable now. So I wouldn't do everything the same way, but I don't regret starting out as a fiction writer. And I wrote a lot of novels that were never published, and that never will be published, fortunately. So I learned something from all of them.
Well, Greg from Philadelphia, thank you so much for the call. Channel Zero, Candle Cove, tonight, 9:30 Pacific time on Sci-Fi. Check your locals where Sci-Fi is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, sci-fi.com. And don't forget that Channel Zero is part of Sci-Fi's 31 Days of October. Excuse me, 31 days of Halloween, all month long, including original movies, including one coming up this Saturday night called Snakeland 2, sequel to that film on Sci-Fi. Again, 31 days of Halloween throughout the month on Sci-Fi, sci-fi.com. Nick Antosta, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on getting Channel Zero off the ground, and hopefully many, many more Creepypasta episodes to come.
Thank you. Check it out tonight. Take care.
Will do. All the greatest. Take care. Nate Antosta joining us live from Manitoba, Canada this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. Thank you to all of our guests and all of our friends for joining us today. And remember, coming up on Friday, our very special exclusive live interview with the one and incredible Norman Lear. And also on Friday's program, CNNNews.com, Steve Ryder on all things digital, Joan Saltzman. That's Friday, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. However you communicate, we appreciate it and we reply. Because why? What you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Kenneth Williams. Andy Toad's Blog Talk Radio's general manager. The creator is Mr. Al Levy. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We are back Friday with Norman Lear, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Please be safe and be great out there. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.